Friends,
welcome into another episode of Spiritual Philosophy Chatter with the Joneses. I am Danny Jones,
and I am Samantha Jones,
and this is episode 235.
235.
What are we talking about?
This is self-limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we both have been struggling with this lately.
One. Yeah. This one can get me if I allow it.
Yeah, for sure.
At times.
Yep.
Cool. Yep. Well, before we hop into talking about that, anything you want to talk about from last week?
Yeah, last week we did The Magic of Synchronicity, and I could tell by the numbers that people love this episode, so yeah. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. I love talking about synchronicities. I could talk about them for days and days. I actually feel like when we go out and do stuff, I'm really mild with what I point out to you. I only point out, like, when they're really, like, there's multiple things around or something, you know, cool, because it happens to me so much. It's constant. It's constant. It's fun, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like we were talking, I don't know, the other day, driving somewhere and come to the light, and the two cars right in front of us both had the same last three characters on the license plate. You're all, see right there, it's A41, A41.
Yeah.
Or something. And I was like, what?
So weird when that happens. Yep, so weird, but I love it. I love all of the... all the fun synchronicities. We went, our anniversary was last week.
Yep.
And so we went out to a dispensary called Planet 13, one of the two that claims to be the world's largest. So don't ask me which one is. But
pretty big.
Yeah. So it's Planet 13, right? And 13 is my mom's number. Mm-hmm. And the whole way there, I was just seeing so many 13s. And then we walk in and we're standing in line and Every Breath You Take comes on, which is our number one song.
Yep.
But compared to the other songs that were playing while we were in there, it was like that was a slow song compared to a lot of upbeat. It was just so funny. It's like she had to slip it in.
Yeah, I'm coming in.
Yeah, she slips it. Yep. All right. So I got this from a client, and I wanted to read it because I think it's cool.
Cool.
She says, from Sharon, she said, "Hi, Samantha. A few months ago, you did a reading for me regarding my career. You told me a change was coming very quickly. I was depressed and felt helpless. Your reading lifted my spirits. You also were freakishly accurate." I love it when people use those words.
I do, too. Because it's true.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, whoa, what just happened?
It's incredible.
Yeah. "I was skeptical about your predictions, not because I don't trust you, but because I didn't see how it would be possible."
Yeah.
"But you nailed it. I got the job I wanted at the location I wanted for an even higher salary than I imagined. I'm still speechless. I just wanted you to know the outcome and tell you I'll be back soon for another reading. Love and light to you and Danny, Sharon."
Wow, Sharon, congratulations.
Yes, thank you. That's for that, cool. Too. I love too. To hear those, yeah.
Because that happened to you recently, too, with this dog people, which I love when, you know, the skeptics come in and they walk away just kind of like jaw open.
Yeah, this guy messaged me. They had lost their dog. Their dog passed away and they were, you know, obviously distraught. And they had gone to another animal communicator or something and she just wasn't even nice to them, right? But he said, "I've always been kind of skeptical of this," right? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do him a favor and I'm going to tell him how his dog died.
Yeah.
And I did. And they set up a Zoom reading for the next day.
Yeah.
And so we had the Zoom reading. And that's what's so different between a phone call and a text reading is that you can see people's
expressions. Yeah.
And at one point he reached out to his wife and put his hand on her like, oh my God, what just happened? Because I started seeing this little teddy bear, right?
Yeah.
And I started talking about the teddy bear, and the husband goes, "I just put a teddy bear ornament on his tree." They have a tree, you know, like a memorial tree,
right
before this reading. And then I think it was the next day or the day after, he messaged me that his wife was at a mall that they used to walk the dogs through, and that she came up, I think it was a mattress shop, with a teddy bear sitting on the bed next to a dog stuffed animal.
Wow.
He was like blown away, but... hey, you know, I'm not trying to change anybody's minds, but just, when I can, I love that because I feel like it opens up so much for people when they can go, oh my gosh, this is real. know?
Yeah, and the old, when you start to really, you know, go backwards on that, you start to realize, well, this is the truth about our existence.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we may not be here, but we're definitely somewhere else. We're not dead. If this person, excuse me, animal, not even a person, animal, can share with you the things it's showing these people or that it's witnessing them doing.
Yeah.
Then it's obvious that the animal is there.
Yeah, they picked out a lot of things in the reading. Like the dog told me that he liked to go on adventures. Mm. And they used that word, like, let's go on an adventure. And so when I said that, they were both like, right. You know, but yeah.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Well, good story. Yeah.
Actually, while we're on the topic of my readings, I wanted to talk about one other one because I feel like this might help some people.
Okay.
So I had a lady come to me whose dog died mysteriously. No, they had no idea how the dog died. So she wanted to know. So what I saw was this dog eating grass, and that it literally the stomach was burning, like, all the way down to the butt. Like, the exit was on fire was what I was feeling, wow. Right?
Yep.
There were other things that came up too, right? But what my conclusion was maybe it was a poisoning or something, because I saw the grass eating and the trying to throw up. But the burning, you know, we didn't really know where that was coming from. So she got this idea to go out and look at poop that was outside and found huge chunks of bone, of white marrow bones. Ugh. Now, we give these to our dogs, but as soon as I see any cracks in them, I take them away.
Yeah.
So if you feed your dog those marrow bones, do not let them ingest those. Do not let them eat those,
no.
Because I just saw firsthand what happens with a dog that, yeah. You know. But these
and also, really quickly on that note, too, do not ever feed your dogs cooked bones.
No,
bones.
Yeah. No, not cooked.
Because cooked will splinter and shatter.
Yeah, these are probably cooked bones. I don't know, the marrow bones that you buy in the store. But just supervise them. It's like ours, most of the time, do not do any destruction to them at all. But I make sure that the ones I buy are very solid.
Right.
But it was really interesting to watch this play out, because she came back to me a few times with saying, I realized you hit this part too. You know, the dog was at one point trying to throw up but couldn't. So we finally put two and two together that it was this bone, right? So the vet really had no idea. The vet had no idea at all what was going on. So they ended up euthanizing the dog. She was really sick, had now an infection, probably from being cut open on the inside from the bones. But none of it made sense. But this is a part of my job that I do enjoy doing. It's hard sometimes to watch people that, you know, they don't know how their animal died and they need to know.
Oh, God.
But it also teaches other people as well to watch out for certain things. So, so this is one area I wanted to point out that I can help in. If you have a pet that has passed, or even a human, because I do it with humans too, that you don't know why, feel free to reach out, because that's something that. You
know, yeah, the bone thing too. You're right. The ones that are specially treated or dealt with to be pet bones.
Yeah,
that's different. I meant like a chicken bones.
Oh yeah, no.
Don't give them that, or even like rib bones, because if they're cooked. That happens, and then if they swallow it, it's not good. So
Because they like shred apart.
I mean, imagine
and break
swallowing
apart.
Glass.
Yeah, exactly.
It's broken glass.
Ugh. Yeah. So any bones that you see that aren't supposed to be ingested, take those away if you start to see any damage to them. Of course, yeah.
Cool.
So So that's what I got. But let's before we give our info, actually, I want to talk about the TV show, because that starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that's January 15th at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern. It is on Bold Brave TV. Where can you find Bold Brave TV?
Where?
So you can look it on Facebook. It's Facebook Live that they show it. YouTube also, YouTube Live. If you have Amazon Fire or Roku TV or an Android, they all have apps for Bold Brave TV. Unfortunately, Apple doesn't yet, but hopefully soon.
Huh.
So that's some places, or on their website as well. That's some places where you can find
seems pretty easy.
The show. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm excited.
That's, me too. It should be fun.
Nice.
Yep. So, all right, well, let's give our information.
Go for it.
All right, so you can find me at SamanthaJonesPsychicMedium.com or on Etsy at BeyondTheBridge11. I'm also now doing lives and videos on TikTok. So TikTok, you can find me Beyond the Bridge 11. I did change my name actually on there to Samantha Jones Psychic Medium because I wanted people to know what I did because I didn't think Beyond the Bridge did. So you can look up Samantha Jones Psychic Medium as well.
Cool.
So hey, and then for you.
Thank you. DJonesArtCollection.com for the web, at DJonesArtCollection for Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And I'm about two-thirds done with my piece. Almost there.
Yay.
Almost there. It's going quickly.
It's really cool. You guys are going to love it.
I'm falling in love with this one. So, anyways, that's coming soon. And then for my photography, Instagram is at DJones71 Photography. And for my Etsy store photography, it is DJonesPhotography71. And that's it for me.
Very good.
Cool. All right, then. Episode 235, Self-Limiting Beliefs.
You and I were having a conversation earlier in the week, and the conversation was in that area of that both of us were like, you know, are we good enough for this? Are we this and that? You know, self-limiting beliefs. And I heard it. I kept hearing it. So I said to you, self-limiting beliefs.
Yeah, it's a good...
Yeah. It does a lot of times what the things that reflect in our lives, then we can talk about them. It makes sense why the universe orchestrates it like this. So
I don't think it's an abnormal thing at all. I think that probably many of us in society have this from time to time.
Well, let me read you what self-limiting beliefs are, if anybody is wondering. Okay. So self-limiting beliefs are negative or restrictive beliefs that individuals impose on themselves, hindering their personal or professional growth. These thoughts can undermine confidence and create barriers to achieving one's potential. Overcoming self-limiting limiting thoughts often involves challenging and reframing these beliefs to foster a more positive and empowering mindset. Some examples: I'm not good enough. I'll never succeed. I always fail. I don't deserve to be happy or successful. Others are smarter, talented, so I can't compete. I'm too old, too young to pursue my dreams. Yeah, I definitely can relate to those. I don't think I'm as I know I'm not as bad as this as some people, because some of my clients that I work with, this is a big thing. And I think this comes from, you know, even childhood a lot with self-esteem, with how you grow up feeling about yourself. Is, are you deserving of this? What are you taught?
That's kind of where I feel like that comes from for me in my particular situation.
Yeah.
You know, I can't speak for everybody and where that comes from. But for me, it felt like it was more what I learned.
Yeah.
I didn't I didn't see a lot of my direct, immediate family sort of chasing down their dream.
Yeah.
They were just doing what was there at the time, or I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely look at parents as a direct influence. And I feel like as an adult, because I didn't have any, that it's been smoother for me because I haven't had parent or both sitting there telling me I couldn't do something until I was introduced to my biological father. And he does that to my sister constantly. Yeah. And he's done it to me a couple of times. And I called him out on it once. And I said, this is why people don't follow their dreams, because their parents tell them that they're too crazy, or that they're not going to make anything, or that it doesn't possibly happen to you. It's like, okay, so maybe, you know, these are areas, there's some areas that are harder to achieve your goals, okay? That's possible. But why, as parents, do we not want to encourage our children to follow what their dreams are? You know, it's
a learned behavior. Yeah. You know, I think we teach a lot about safety and security, and I don't mean that in a physical sense. I mean that more in a financial and stable kind of life. We find ourselves maybe pushing that on our kids because we want what's best for them.
Sure.
So we want, you know, security and stability for them, not living on the streets and things like that, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a level of logic and I think reason that obviously is in there.
Right.
You know, so you're looking at, well, I got to take the first job that comes along.
Right.
Okay, maybe you do. But do you have to stay at that first job that comes along?
Right.
No.
Right.
You don't.
Yeah.
You know, can you push the envelope a little further? Can you try to get kind of like what Sharon was sharing about, that she doesn't know how this happened.
Right.
Right.
Totally.
Well,
yeah.
It doesn't sound like you were helping yourself.
No.
In the self-limiting aspect.
Yeah.
But you went with it and the universe showed you.
Totally.
That you need to give yourself a little more credit.
Totally.
And you got it.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully that's what we're supposed to recognize. But, you know, I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I think, well, God, I look at the pictures I take and think, well, maybe they're not as good as that guy. Well, of course they're not.
Well,
they're not going to be as good as everybody.
No.
There's always going to be somebody better than you.
Always, yeah.
Even my paintings, there's always going to be somebody better than you. But yeah. That's not the point here.
No. No, it's
and
not.
That's what people get so focused on,
right.
Is comparing to one another. Well, that suits that person's lifestyle,
right.
That stability, that security of knowing that,
yes.
That this corporation pays them a paycheck once a week or once every 2 weeks, guaranteed, mm-hmm. as long as they're employed.
Right.
Well, then there's people that choose not to live that way.
Right. Yes.
And this is foreign to some people and yes. scares them to the point, but I think it really does start, honestly, with our parents.
Yeah, and no offense if there's any boomers listening, but that generation seems to be the worst about it. Like, your dad, I'm going to tell this story because I think you should. Marina is one of the smartest people I've ever met in my mm-hmm. life, and she's so creative and so talented, and he was trying to push community college on her. And we were like, no, she wants to go to art school, and that's what she wants. And just because it might seem like that's a hard career to get into, like, you might look at it that way because you're a boomer and you see, you know, artists, it's hard for them. You're not looking at the big picture of things. You're not.
He was also looking at the cost of it.
Well, the
cost,
sure.
That was the big influence, too. And the point of going to Moorpark was that as a resident of California, that it's basically very cheap.
Right. And you can, like, you can get the education there was basically his point. However, no, you can't. If it
not
the
same
as art school.
No, you can't.
It's academic. Art school is art school. It's totally
different.
And then
she just shared with us this last Friday that she received an email from the school, her school, and she's made the dean's list in her first semester.
Yeah.
So that was a reassurance to me right there.
Yeah.
And I told even Marina this. I said, if you have any doubt in your mind that you're where you're supposed to be at right now in your life, I hope that this eases that.
Right.
Because getting that kind of level of recognition this early on, your first year in.
Right.
You know, and this early on in the year, I think that shows the universe is telling you, No, this is exactly where you're supposed to be.
Right, exactly. Community college is not the place for her. Nah. That's a place for kids like you and I that don't really want to go to college or just, you know, or if you don't want to spend the money on it or you can't or whatever. This college will put us in debt for a very long time, but it's worth it.
That's what I think
it,
as
you know?
A boomer and my father, where he was going with that.
I understand.
And I said, I'm sorry, I can't make that the excuse,
no.
Right? Because you yourself wouldn't have never done that, gone into debt for your kids. That's okay. That's your choice.
Right.
But I couldn't look at what I knew, and this is for a couple ways, what you've shared with me, okay? Mm-hmm. But what my own intuition has told me in my own life about, you know, things that I've called, like a Babe Ruth shot, like, okay, I'm going to do this kind of collection of type of art 30 years down the road. I'm going to do a whole collection of this.
Right.
I felt very similar with Marina in this situation. Mm-hmm. Like, she's got to go to this school, she's got to go to a good school because she has something that needs to be tapped into.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's been very obvious that this is true.
Yeah, and the universe, every time that we would bring up concerns, would be like, don't worry about it. And it's like, I hate
that.
How
do you not worry about
it? Right, exactly.
You know, private school is expensive and the whole thing. But you know what popped in my head, too, about it was I shared with her while we were texting back and forth, and this just came out of my mouth, but I said, you're now on their radar. Mm-hmm. Like, they're watching you.
Right. You're not just blending.
You're not blending.
Yeah.
I said, so don't be nervous by that.
Yeah.
Just be authentically you because that's what they're looking at.
Totally.
Your originality and your willingness to go deep and share this within your art.
Right.
I said, I wouldn't be surprised, and this popped out of my head, my mouth, but I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they potentially offered you a teaching position when this is all over and you graduate.
Yeah.
And I was like, where'd that come
from? Yeah, where'd that come from? Yeah, it's, you know, those things, so, that you're,
but
like,
it's
whoa.
That type of thing, yeah, where if they're pushing you,
yeah,
the you're helping their stats.
Yeah.
You're helping their new enrollments.
Yeah.
You're making them look good.
Right.
And they like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yep, absolutely. So I asked our listeners, do you struggle with self-limiting beliefs? And 45% said yes, a lot. 31% said a little, 11% said no, and 11% said I'm not sure. Nancy said, sometimes I am my own worst enemy, and other times I am a master at manifesting. I'm a conundrum. No, because you know why? Because it's true. It very much has to do with where your mindset is at the time.
Yes.
Your mindset has to be in the game. If it's not, then it's right. just not going to happen.
Because I think we've all done that, and this, you make a great point, is that we've all done this where we've gone... Where there's been moments where our mind has been in the game, and we've gone in and just like, wah, bah, bah, bam, and clean house, and we're yeah. like, damn, how'd I do that?
Yeah, totally.
And then the next time comes along, and you're like, oh my God, I'm running scared.
Totally.
You're like, how did I tap into that?
Yep.
Well, it was just you being aware of your ability and your power as a,
yep.
you know, as an entity, and just the ability to create things.
Yeah.
Do things, you know?
Yep.
It's when we doubt ourselves... And again, the comparison factor like my yard has to look like that guy's yard, and I got to have the same car and the same physique and the same, the same long-term plan. I have to have a 401k why?
Right.
I'm not saying it's bad.
No.
But why does everybody have to uniformly adopt this way of thinking?
No.
You do not.
No, you don't. Mm-mm.
There are other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe can show us other ways.
Yes.
If we allow it.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons that I'm here and I do this job, is to show people you don't have to live a conventional life. You can choose the life that you want, and you can take that path and follow it and, you know, get where you want to go and survive.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be like everybody else's. It's, you know.
It's been a hard kind of saddle for me to adjust in at first.
Yeah.
Of like, what am I doing? You know, and
right.
still like focusing more on, I think both of us are more kind of, we know that we have gifts and abilities to mm-hmm. do stuff, but that business part of it where it's like the, eh.
Yep.
The like, this is the part I don't like.
Yep. No, I don't like that part either. I told you this morning, actually, I think it was this morning, doesn't matter. Tomorrow starts the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wasn't where I am with my abilities and my self-confidence with my abilities, I'd be a wreck right now.
Yeah.
The very first like medium circle that I did, I sat outside and I cried beforehand because I was so worried that I wasn't going to be able to like do the readings, that the universe was just not going to show up for me or whatever. And now it's like, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. When you like convert people, I hate to say convert, but you take skeptics and change their mind in a simple half an hour, 45-minute reading.
Yeah.
You know the universe is always going to
be always there.
It's always there.
It is. It's always there. But I also, like, wasn't thrilled about the idea of a TV show because I don't want to show my face, right? And it's not because, like, I don't think that I'm going to get super famous and everybody's going to know my face. That's not it. It's that... People are mean.
Yeah.
And I'd rather not hear the crap, you know? No matter how beautiful you are, they will pick you apart. So if you're average or whatever, they'll really pick you apart. They take those things and...
F them.
Right.
But you're my wife. I love you. I think you're beautiful. No, it doesn't matter.
But that's a self-limiting belief.
I know.
And in order for me to get where I want to go, I had to let go of that. And I had to say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's going to be those people that are just drawn to me.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with what I look like or anything like that at all.
No, that's just misery loving company. And so
you
just have to turn that off.
It's hard because society teaches you certain things. And through the spiritual awakening and getting older, I've like, I don't care so much about my weight anymore as long as I feel like I'm, you know, healthy and not, like, you know, really overweight. But, I mean, I'll always be somewhat overweight, and it's not a big deal. But when I was younger, it was a big deal. I would not have gone on TV at this weight. There is no way. And I'm at one of my thinners. Yeah, I'm at one of my thinner weights. But because of what society teaches women, we put those self-limiting beliefs in there of, I can't do this because I can't compare to somebody else.
And the funny part is, it's like you're always seeing the bust, the shoulder.
Yeah.
From the shoulders up.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I would still have been like, no, doesn't matter.
No.
No, I'm not doing it. But now I realize that sometimes you just do things that are outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because once you get past that feeling,
yeah,
it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't feel like, I wasn't like this when we started the podcast. I couldn't just sit here and talk, and, you know, takes time.
Yeah.
Takes time and confidence in building those things in yourself. So the self-limiting beliefs, I had to throw them out the window as much as possible.
It's, you know, and that's just part of our, I think, of our evolution and our growth as a soul, is that one day you might feel like, kind of like Nancy said, like a conundrum. I mean, one day you might feel like you have that under control. It's not an issue. And then the next time you don't.
Yeah.
And you have to maybe relearn something or reassure this child, or the, you know, the inner child or whatever it is that has a hard time, you know. I think I felt like I had a double-edged sword because I could not stop being interested in music and art.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't.
No, it's in your soul.
And my dad said to me, like, oh, I thought it was just a phase, at least the music part.
Yeah.
But the art was also often sort of shared, like, it's not realistic.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not.
Right.
But realistic in what terms? It was never defined.
No.
I just felt like, and then I felt guilty as if I was like, I can't put this down.
Right.
I love it too much.
Right.
You're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
If I eat top ramen and live in a one room studio, if I have a guitar and a paintbrush, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I was grounded as a teenager, my guitar was taken away.
Yeah.
And I was even grounded from drawing. That's how much they knew I loved this.
Yeah, exactly.
And then to tell me and insinuate that this isn't, you know, a lucrative business. Hey, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm not filthy rich.
But that's okay.
But I'm rich in my heart because of that.
Right.
You know, I'm not a mathematician, so I'm not going to want to add numbers. I'm not an English major, so I'm not going to want to, you know, write theses and things like that. It's just not me.
Right, exactly. But I think more people than not feel the opposite of like, well, I can't do that because, you know, I've been told for so long I can't do that. And and so they don't follow their passion because they're scared and they've been filled with all of these beliefs that they can't, that are now self-limiting beliefs, you know? So it is taking a risk to put yourself out there and say, I'm going to do what I'm passionate about. And it's like, it hit me a while back that our lives are very different from most people. That part I knew.
Now they are in a lot of ways.
But what the part that hit me was that I wouldn't want it any other way.
No.
And if that means that we would have to struggle every day to get by, but we don't have to go and work a 9-to-5 job that we're miserable doing, that's fine. Right. That's fine. I'm fine with that.
You coming along, you know, I think into my life for the second time, and this time where we could have a relationship and learn from each other, was a huge, like, breath of fresh air in the sense of, you were already achieving what I thought was kind of impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know that you could just start your own business, you know, and then all of a sudden be surviving.
Right.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew you got paid to help grandmother and stuff like that, but, you know, when she was sick. But for the most part, you were an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You could go out and do something and start a business, which you did in Vegas when you were here before, and then turned around, went to California, and started essentially the same type of business over again, built that up, and was able to then leave that whole type of work. And once you realized your true calling and your true gift, which was this is what you need to be doing.
Yeah.
And I think that it was essential for us to meet and support each other.
Right.
Right? This is what my whole, getting back to my whole point of this, my God, I met somebody that kind of sees things the way that I dreamt about, but I didn't really think it was possible.
Totally.
But she's doing it.
Yeah.
And she's telling me that I should do it.
Yeah.
But I've been told that this isn't realistic and that I'm wasting time.
Yeah.
But I'm not, because all I have is time.
Right.
Because I'm going to do this over and over and over. So I might as well do this life in what I feel pulled to. And that is the art and the music. And I always have.
Yeah.
It's not just a phase.
No. And people might think you're crazy for doing those kinds of things. Yeah. I got, you know, all the time, how can you live like that where you don't know what your income is going to be from one day to the next?
Right.
Well, there's the rush of making a lot of money in one day that you can't do with a regular job. Does it mean that sometimes it's feast or famine? Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
For sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I sell a print in one literal credit card entry. And be like, that's as much as I needed to make for the day. I'm
exactly.
Okay.
That's right. Exactly. It's scary. I get that.
Yeah.
But if it's what you want to do, then those self-limiting beliefs, don't let them stop you. I actually, you said something and it triggered in me a quote from Walt Disney. And that is, it's kind of fun to do the impossible.
And yes, I love that.
I am a huge Disney fan, and when I did start taking care of my grandma, I was bored. I felt like, you know, I would see her for like a few hours a day, but it wasn't a consistent thing, and I was bored. I wanted something else to do. I'm a hard worker. So before I even started the pet sitting back there, I started a tour company at Disneyland, and I was doing tours there for a while. And people didn't understand it. They're like, how can you go and take care of your grandma and then go and work another job at Disneyland? Whatever. You do whatever it takes to get by if you want that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah.
You will do what it takes. And that's what it's taken for me most of my life, is to work multiple jobs, but I'm fine with that.
Right.
And makes me happy.
I think I can relate to that statement, Walt's statement. You know, I really can. Because, you know, there are a lot of people that would love nothing more, meaning close friends and family, than to see that happen for you. And then you have people that aren't okay with it.
No, they're not.
And that's a bummer.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
That's what we've set out to do, is to show those people, but, you know, ourselves most of all. Because I think I start to look at this in more terms of, and I'm going to plug Dolores again, because I love the information they share and that she shares in her books, but that it talks about this and our fear of that there's not enough money and fame and recognition to go around, but there is plenty.
Absolutely.
The truth is that not everybody's going to experience it all in the same time on the planet, right?
Right.
But I start to look at this as a practice in going back to what we, even Nancy was talking about in the manifesting, that we're learning to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that by my choices in this life, it's going to set up something better for my next experience. Or it's like, I don't know if it's better, but just different lessons.
Right.
But a notch up.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever it is, the whole experience will be maybe a notch higher.
Right.
Yep. To get me closer to that enlightenment or full enlightenment and closer to God. I'm not just thinking about this lesson and then my next lesson within this life. I'm sort of kind of accordioning them together and going, maybe it's this whole life.
Right.
And the choice and the following what it is you're called to do that then sets you up for the next experience.
Right.
Which I'm hoping is not a bad one, but it's all what we decide together.
Absolutely.
So I think that there was another point I wanted to make about this, but I, it's kind of escaped me. So if it comes back to me, I'll share.
Yeah, I was going to say, with TikTok, this has been an area where I've really had to convince myself not to listen to those self-limiting beliefs, because mm-hmm. there's a million and one psychics on TikTok, and a lot of them are doing really well, and a lot of them aren't. So what makes me not able to reach the same level as the ones that are doing well? Nothing except my mindset, but also the amount of work that I'm willing to put into it. Mm-hmm. If you have the good mindset and you have the work ethic and you throw yourself into things and you know, that I asked Molly, Mystic Molly, I asked her, what is the one tip that you would give for somebody trying to break into TikTok? And she said, be consistent.
Yeah.
So what I see is a lot of people that are consistent for like couple weeks, and then they're like, this isn't working, and they drop off.
Right.
And that's kind of where I'm at, is that like few week mark, and I'm like, nope, you're gonna keep going, and you're gonna keep going, because what else do you have? You have nothing to lose, just keep going.
Right.
You know, it's like, why not? If you stop, all that does is, you know, it puts a roadblock there.
So well, and then you're going. Caving in. I would be caving into what I was told, or felt like I was told.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm not saying that the exact words were used, you know.
Yeah.
But there was this sort of like persuasion.
Yeah.
You sure you want to?
Totally.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You know, like there, it felt like that. And then I would get this sort of like, hey, you want to be a ditch digger or a trash man?
Yeah.
For the rest of your life? Hey, as long as you're happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you. But even put into that context.
Yeah.
Makes me feel like, what if I wanted to be?
Right. Would you really be happy?
Is there something wrong with that?
Right, totally.
Right.
Right.
So, as if I'm being compared to being a ditch digger.
Right.
Because I want to be an artist and a musician.
Yeah, I mean, I get the sentiment behind it, but when it's, you know, followed with something, you know.
I do too, but I can also read more into it,
right.
I guess, and be like, huh, well, I don't, yeah, it's not my first choice, but I'm, you know, this is just going with my heart.
Right.
And not just my heart, but knowing that, especially art was something I did so young.
Yeah.
That my parents did acknowledge.
Yeah.
And I think that first acknowledgement is what makes you feel like, oh, maybe I can somehow do this.
Right.
And then they come back with this, but it's not realistic.
Yeah.
Well, why not?
Right. But does it have to be realistic?
Right.
Like, there are people out there that go and do things that seem unrealistic. That's a part mm-hmm. of our society.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the people in movies and stuff like that. That is a very hard career to break into, but there's people that do it. Mm-hmm. So why not allow our children to follow whatever that is? Right. Marina, when I first met her, she was 8 years old and she wanted to be a forensic scientist.
Yeah.
And that stuck until about 11 or 12, you know, something like that.
That was very surprising to me, because I could already see that she had talent artistically as it was.
Yeah. That was just, you know.
There was influence in watching television. And, mm-hmm. You know, I don't even know if those are really great shows for a 10-year-old to be watching, like CSI and stuff. But whatever.
But if she was still wanted that, we would have supported her. No matter what she wanted to do.
I mean, I did honestly talk to her and said, do you realize the intensity and the kind of the, I hate to say this, the grotesqueness of what you may see as a CSI?
Yeah, right.
But if that's something you're passionate about, then you should do that.
Yeah.
Well, then it quickly changed.
Yeah.
Not quickly, but it changed at some point. I want to be an artist.
Yep.
And I was like, that sounds a little bit better to me. At least as far as what I was picking up on what she could do already.
Yeah.
So.
She had a lot of dreams very early on that she didn't realize she, and I think a lot of kids do this, you don't realize you're going to grow and things are going to change. So like, for example, she originally wanted to go to school in Europe and mm-hmm. England, actually. And as she got older, she stopped talking about that. And she told me, she's like, I don't want to go anymore, but there's a part of me that feels like I have to, because I've told so many people that that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
And I don't want to look stupid and not do it. But I think that holds us back, too, is that if we decide mm-hmm. we want to change our mind, we feel like we can't, because then what are people going to say? Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
You know, I think that she's brought that up again, that CCA offers something like that.
Yeah, like going abroad, yeah.
Yeah, and you get some sort of extra credit or something that. But, yeah. But another example of this, too, with her is that she recently skydived.
Yeah, that's
and
a good one.
She shared this with us that she had thought about doing it beforehand. And then the day of, she's like, I'm going to do it. And I was like, wow, are you serious?
Yeah.
Now, my parents would have immediately probably been like, oh, you're crazy.
Oh, man. No.
That's a bad idea. You know, just been super duper negative and scared. Basing their own self-limiting thoughts.
Yes.
And projecting that onto the other person.
Yes.
As opposed to me, I was like, whoa, are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Right. I was like, man, I was just sort of blown away. I was like, I want to see this.
Right, exactly.
Like, I was almost daring her in a way. Like,
totally.
If you go through with this, I'm going to be mind blown.
Yeah.
And she did.
She did, yeah.
She did.
We were
and
both
I think
mind blown, yeah.
She helped herself in that one moment of however many seconds it took from to jump out of that plane. She was tandem.
Yeah.
But still, I don't care. That's still jumping out. Now you got somebody else's hands that are in charge of your life.
Totally.
No, I don't know.
No, I'll pass, thanks.
But from the minute you jump out of that plane to hitting the ground, she changed her perception of what she's capable of doing.
Oh, yeah.
In that amount of time.
It was a definite wake-up for her.
It was
a
wake-up call that she was able to do anything.
Yeah.
And I think this is another one with her getting this email about making the Dean's List was like, you got uprooted from your home and your friends and your family and you're far away, feeling lonely sometimes, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Life has totally changed.
Yeah.
Because she lives in a dorm and everything. But when you get this kind of reassurance from the universe of like, oh, yeah, maybe I maybe want to stick in with that plan because they're telling me you're doing good things. And I've told her, you know, the minute she got, you know, even graduated and got accepted to the school, I said, I know you're going to do great things. And I told her, this is one of those things. I didn't call it. I didn't know that's what it's going to be.
Right.
But this is one of them, and you're just getting started.
Yep. But now think about if we would have handled it differently. If she would have been like, I want to go to art school, and we would have been like, why? Like, why would you do that? No. And or even when we were there dropping her off, being like, well, hope it goes well. You know, it's totally about how you handle these situations.
She has actually gotten frustrated by our positivity at times, you know, which that's teenagers, you know. But I'm trying to be what I felt like I didn't get.
Yes, me too. Mm-hmm.
So is it over the top like cheerleading? No. But it's definitely always bringing in the positive aspect or viewpoint.
Yeah.
And trying to show her that merely everything is just is a perception. So you have all these pairs of glasses that you can choose from.
Yep, absolutely.
And you can take them on, put a different one on, and take that off and put a different one on anytime you want.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. You can put on ones that things don't look so good in.
Yeah.
And then, but you can take those off.
Yeah.
Right? So that's, I wanted to just be what I felt like I didn't get, and that was like, I believe in you.
Yeah.
I know that you're going to take this idea of going to this school and this living and this idea of what you want to do with your life, and it's going to happen.
Yep. Absolutely.
So that's it. That's the best that I can do for her. It's so funny because I can cheer her on, or even you, but I can't apply that always to my own life.
I think that's normal.
You know, my own challenge is still like feeling sometimes, you know, inferior. But then I go back to the, well, of course. I mean, this is what it's learning, what learning is about. So there's always going to be someone better.
Yes.
But I'm doing all this work and putting in this time to better myself and through that, hopefully better the world. That then my next experience will reflect that.
Absolutely. And it's okay to not be the best of the best. There's levels of everything. It's like even with being a psychic, I'm not the greatest psychic, and I'm not even on the kind of level that these famous psychics are on, not at all. But I've worked on this very hard. And so I know I'm somewhere around the middle, and I'm okay with that. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. If this is where I stayed, that this was my level, okay, I like to progress, so that's my own challenge. But I understand that it my level of success isn't reflective of anybody else's but my own. Right. It doesn't matter how much success other psychics have had. There can still be the same amount of success, if not more, for me. Because I'm a different person, and this is my life. And, you know, there's how many billions of people in this world? And a lot of them need psychics and animal communicators. Yeah. So there's plenty of work out there for all of us. It's when we start limiting ourselves and saying, well, no, it's saturated, or, you know, whatever those are. It can't be done. No, it can. You just have to work at it.
It's incredible. We've been watching over the last few nights the Gypsy Rose Blanchard confessions from prison. And this, if you're not familiar, this girl lived up until 20-something years old under her mom's roof and rule. But her mom was inflicting Munchausen by proxy on a very extreme level on this child. And if you don't know what Munchausen by proxy is, it's basically making up illnesses, either convincing people, doctors, even the child itself, they're sick, they need medicine.
Projecting hypochondria.
Yeah, projecting hypochondria. And so this young lady, Gypsy Rose, grew up, you want to talk about self-limiting beliefs.
Oh.
She grew up believing she had leukemia. Her mom used to shave her head. She was in a wheelchair from about 8 on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking like a full-on electrical wheelchair.
She could walk just fine.
She walked fine. Yeah. Her mom had her in multiple her first surgery at 1, I think, or something. But multiple surgeries. I mean, the healthcare system should just be ashamed of the shit, that this poor girl actually had done that had no business. Like, her salivary glands were taken out.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Like, what? Yeah. What?
Yeah, because her mom said she drooled.
Yeah, because she had pain pills or something? What was that?
I don't remember. Oh, she would put Orajel in her mouth.
Orajel, that's what it was. That's right, yes. But that was her mom was administering all this. Anyways, long story short, this young lady was involved with a younger man who had some illness problems too and convinced him to kill her mother for her. And I have no bit of shame for that young lady. I would never make her feel guilty 1 ounce for what she did to get out of that situation.
No.
Murder seems pretty gnarly, and I would never, ever condone that. In this situation, this is the only way this poor girl could ever, ever get out of this.
Yeah.
She was learning how to eliminate self-limiting beliefs at 25.
Yeah.
First, she's very now first learning all these things about life at 25. Yeah. She didn't even know what tampons were.
No.
Until she got to prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she was released in 23, December 23, and she served 8 of her 10 years. And the man that actually did the murdering, he got life without parole. But this guy was a bit off his rocker.
Oh,
And her and I were talking about this, Samantha and I, about how it's really weird, but exactly what it was she wanted and needed came into her life long enough to take care of what it is she needed taken care of.
Yep.
And she's totally like free now and started her own life.
Yeah.
You know, I would have kind of commented, I wonder if she has kids, like, can this, you know, can she not put any of this on her children?
Yeah.
Because you know that you've got to have some issues.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that she was as together.
Yeah.
And did not look as mentally ill.
No, not at all.
As what I thought she would look like after living that life.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And this girl was chained to the bed at times.
Yep.
Chained to her mom.
Yeah.
Threatened with knives.
Yep.
Guns. The whole thing.
Yeah.
And they milked. Her mom was so good at this that she milked the system, you know. Habitat Humanity built a home for her.
Yeah, they made her make a wish several times.
Make a wish. So
it's a good series. Yeah,
it's a really good series. Yeah. It's heavy. I'm not gonna lie. Especially like the kid things really get me.
Yeah,
it bums me out.
Yeah.
But I realized that, you know, this young lady was facing those, all those at once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like now you're out of prison. It's like you have to face the world.
Yeah. And she's looking at it more of, I can do anything. And I love that.
She is. She's being very optimistic. Even she said, this was sweet and I couldn't believe it. She said, if I don't make parole this time around, she goes, I won't be heartbroken because, to be honest with you, this isn't that bad in here.
Yeah.
Compared to what I lived.
Yeah.
This isn't that bad. I've made friends.
Yeah.
And I've done things, you know, yeah. Like she can make friends with who she wants. She has her hair really long.
Yeah.
She can look like who she wants. She can talk to whoever she wants. It was like,
yep.
Somebody comparing freedom to prison as not really that bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
I wouldn't be surprised if she became a motivational speaker someday, because she is one of those people.
That's incredible.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. That I
it's
feel
a great
like.
Calling.
Yeah, absolutely. Because she did go through a lot. I want to point this out real quick, what you were talking about, though, even though it's not necessarily about the topic. But I was sitting there watching it and I thought, this is weird, because this played out so well. And it's murder, okay? How many people, like, she met this guy online, right? I think on Facebook or something mm-hmm. like that. How many people really want to commit murder and would do it for somebody that they barely knew
mm-hmm.
and would be happy about it and risk going to prison? There are
and
not many.
And he was looking
many.
For an opportunity to do this.
Yes. So she met this guy, mm-hmm. and she had only met a couple of guys online. There mm-hmm. weren't that many. So the fact that that happened, and then this went down in a way that she was able to plead guilty, and so she did time in prison, which was actually good, because can you imagine this poor girl, if she would have gone at 20-something years old straight into the world mm-hmm. and not having any time to, like, you know, have somebody kind of take care of her as she's learning, because in jail they feed you, they, you know, mm-hmm. you can get an education. She went to school and all of mm-hmm. that there. It wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, her mom took her out of school real young.
Yeah. So, and her mom needed to go. That was the only way. It was either her or her mom that needed, it had to happen. One of yeah. them had to go to jail or die or whatever. And
the guy that did it, which you made a really good point, was we were watching, is this guy, the pictures of her mother and the guy, Nicholas, that committed the murder, clearly have mental illness.
Yeah.
You can see it directly in the eyes. The yeah. eyes oh, are yeah. the window to the soul.
I always say that, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody has different levels of it, but the ones that are devious and evil
yeah.
and scary and will do go to certain lengths, you can see this.
Oh, yeah, you can, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman had this.
Right. She couldn't see it because she didn't know.
But whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, all the other family members were like, you know, kind of tripping yeah. out about early on about how controlled, the way the mom could control this child,
yeah.
and I'm sure a lot of it was just looks, but threats, and a lot of action, too.
Yeah.
But where she would be in the wheelchair, jump up when mom left to go have fun,
yeah.
jump on the trampoline, mom comes back, and she's like, what are you doing out of the wheelchair? She's like, wants everybody to think the child is crippled.
Right, totally.
You know? And this is not the case.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that this guy wanted to do this, and he's not safe. He was not a safe person
no.
to be out on the street.
No, he wasn't. The universe did what it needed to
yes,
with him.
Yes, they used him. Mm-hmm. This sounds bizarre, but I do believe this.
Yes.
They used him, or this was the plan, to get this done for her,
yes.
for Gypsy Brown, Gypsy Rose, and then he would be incarcerated.
Yes.
And off
exactly.
the streets.
Exactly.
And a lot of people wouldn't even get a life sentence without the possibility of parole for yeah. this type of murder.
Yeah.
But I think they looked one look in that
oh,
guy's
yeah.
eyes and said, this guy can never be on the street again.
He just completely admitted what he did. And he was actually like, oh, wait, let me tell you about this other thing that I did to her to kill her. You know, he
right.
was like, he was excited to talk about it. So I think they knew a psychopath needs to go behind bars.
Yeah.
But anyways, got off on a Gypsy Rose tangent.
Sorry.
That's okay, because it is a good series. I would suggest watching it if you like those types of things. But she is a good example of somebody persevering through some of the hardest things
a
that you can imagine
example.
A person going through.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure she still has those self-limiting beliefs, but at the same time, she's really working hard through them.
And I just said that out loud, like, God, let's keep this in mind, you know, like, if you feel like your life is hit a hard spot, or, you know,
yes.
you can't believe in yourself enough.
Yep.
I was like, she's a great example.
Absolutely. Yeah. It'll be interesting to follow her, watch the rest of her story unfold for sure. So let's see. We only have a few minutes left. So a couple of things that I wanted to say about, you know, working on these self-limiting beliefs and how do we do that? I think one of the biggest things is really changing the dialogue in our head. Is when we start to hear ourselves do those things, we have to have the willpower to say, stop it. Mm-hmm. Stop thinking like that. You need to, you know, pull it together and move on. It really, it is all in
sometimes
our heads.
It's just habitual too.
Yes.
You know, it's a habit you don't even realize
yep.
that you're doing. And I think the study says it's 21 days to break a habit.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you, like you're saying, this is a tape. I always refer to them as tapes that we have in our head. And I have to change the tape.
Yep.
Like, that's the wrong tape. Throw that one out. Put the new one in.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Something else is never say that you can't.
Yeah.
If you can. I mean, obviously, you can't, you know, spread wings and fly, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about logical things like, I can't start my own business. I can't do what I want to do. I can't find love. Like, that was one thing that Gypsy said, that her mom said, you will never find love. And she was like, well, guess what? I'm going to do it. Yeah. I've always been that type of person, too, that if you say I can't do something, I'm going to show you that I can. And that might be a bit of stubbornness there.
That's where I get a lot of my perseverance.
Yeah. I think it is an important thing is that I'm not going to let somebody tell me that I can't do something that I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, who are they?
Yeah.
But that's about changing your thoughts, and especially if you have that kind of damage, you know? But also challenging the negative thoughts. You know, ask yourself, is there evidence that to believe this? Is there evidence that I can't start my own business? No, that's just your own mind telling you that you can't.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why you shouldn't be able to find true love? No. Like, I'm sorry, but like, there's so many women that I've heard from, I will never find somebody to love me because I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm this, I'm that. And you know what? It does not matter what you look like. There is a lid for every can. It's just how this universe works. It's like if you are an average looking person and you're trying to marry Brad Pitt, okay, I understand. But let's be logical here. You can find love. Everybody can find love. It's just a part of the universe. But you have to, it's not self-limiting either, but it is looking for what is right for you. Instead of looking for what maybe this fairy tale is that you think, it's looking, what's right for me? What kind of love is right for me? That was with Gypsy Rose too as well, that she was like, you know, realized in herself, oh my gosh, this guy is just an extension of my mom. He's just like her. Yeah. And so in dating people from prison, because she did get engaged in prison, maybe even married, can't remember.
No, I don't think.
We haven't finished it yet. So right. she might have been, but she wasn't going to take that again. She wasn't going to let somebody talk to her like that again. Right. And that's what we should all do, is not allow for even ourselves to talk to us that way.
Yeah,
because it's not healthy.
Yeah,
you know. So, yay!
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, me too. Very good.
Yeah, not always easy, but absolutely possible. It's all a mental game.
It is.
Most of what's going on here, people, is mental game.
I get people every day that ask me, well, how do I fix this? How do I change this? Whatever it is. Well, there's not going to be a magic solution that's going to fall from the sky or something that's going to slap you across the face. You have to do the work. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from.
Absolutely.
Period.
Yeah. I mean, when we landed here, whatever, you know, there was nothing. All of this is a thought.
Yeah.
So look how much our thoughts can control and create.
They can.
So,
Wow.
Well, my tummy's just like doing a full lion growl, saying, we better order that pizza earlier than thought.
Yeah, I'm ready. Pizza.
Cool. Yeah. Well, before we say goodbye, my tummy takes over this room. Shall we share our information one more time?
Yes. Yeah, so you can find me at SamanthaJonesPsychicMedium.com. My show starts tomorrow, Bold Brave TV, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Check it out.
Yay.
And my Etsy store. Yay. Etsy store is Beyond the Bridge 11.
I'm excited for you.
I'm excited too. I'm not at all nervous either. So.
Good. I think that shows experience and time under your belt.
I've been doing a lot of lives, which has helped.
That I'm very proud of you for doing that.
Thank you.
I know you were nervous about that.
Yeah, I didn't really care for it at first, but it is fun. I get to interact with people I don't normally get to interact with, and you know, it's fun. Yeah.
And I think you get to show, especially in the group atmospheres, you get to show others.
Yes.
With others. Your gift
yes.
to its max, almost, you know, like people get blown away, like, oh my, whoa.
Yeah, totally.
Like I was just in that group and she told that person, like, and they said, yeah, that's right. I was like, whoa.
Yep.
I love those kind of moments.
Me too. Those are fun.
Cool.
And you, sir.
Okay, one more time for my art, djonesartcollection.com for the web, at djonesartcollection for Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And for my photography, Instagram is at djones71photography, and my Etsy shop is D Jones Photography 71.
Yay.
So that's all I got for that.
Very good. We better feed that belly.
Yeah, we better. We hope everybody has a great week.
That we do.
And until next week,
peace and love.